The Windward Zero Waste School HUI was in the news last year after the program was at risk of shutting down due to an unexpected loss of state funds. Private donations and a stalwart staff has kept the program going by diverting organics from the waste stream and following what's called the Ka'ohau Protocol. The HUI successfully operates composting, vermicomposting, and worm farms at five different Kailua schools. For our Mauka to Makai segment, producer Lillian Song visited Enchanted Lake Elementary to catch up with co-founder and coordinator Mindy Jaffe.
So we started at Lanikai. Most people know it as Lanikai Elementary, but now it's Ka'ohau Public Charter School. We really got a chance to develop over there. I came from Pearl City High, where I'd been running this program for a couple of years, and I got kicked out. Even though we won a national award from the EPA for that program over there, they kicked me out. They said, you got to go somewhere else. We just feel very exposed to liability. They were afraid they were going to get sued by the waste haulers because we were reducing the waste so much. We were threatening them. So I'd been doing the worms. I'd been coming once a week early in the morning to do their worms at Lanikai. And I said, you want me full time? And they jumped right on it. They're a charter school. They have a little bit more flexibility. So I started over there in January of 2014. And I took everything I was doing and I refined it even more. We added more things. I got more student involvement. We got a dishwasher over there. It's the only school in the entire state of Hawaii with a dishwasher. We don't have any waste over there. I mean, it's just nothing. After a few years, we had this down to absolute turnkey procedures and protocols, and we decided to name it the Ka'ohau Protocol because that's where it was developed, and we went to Ke'elepulu after that, bam, right in, and then bam, Kainalu, and then KIS and Enchanted Lake. We got our five schools within a few years, and now, you know, we're very established everywhere. It is so efficient, and it works 100% of the time. You know, we just got it down. So the idea that the state wanted to spend money doing a study on this just seemed ridiculous to me, because we've already done that. We've made all the mistakes, we've had all the failures, we've eliminated the not so great things and refined the really good things to the point where I can hit a campus and in that day, on day one, it's a zero waste campus. So we want to see that expanded throughout the island. I really want to expand complex-wide and then island-wide. I don't see any reason. It takes some training. You can see it's very labor-intensive. All these guys are working real hard. I think it's within reach. There is money in the DOE waste management budget. Right now, 100% of it goes to the trash haulers, goes to the dumpster and landfill model, H-Power model. And if they could diversify that a little bit. Back in 2002, when I was in the ledge, we diversified the state's investment in energy. It used to be all oil and gas and coal, and they said, let's diversify. There's hydrothermal, you know, there's wind, there's solar. So they did the renewable standards portfolio, and they started to look at alternative ways of dealing with energy and diversified their investment, their portfolio. And I want them to do the same thing with waste management. There's more than just the dumpster landfill, the dumpster H-Power model. This alternative, the biological models, are all very well tested throughout the world. And they need to stretch their brains a little bit and let us in. Some of that financing, because we're reducing the dumpster volume so much, and only need one dumpster pickup a week because there's no organics in there to rot, there's plenty of money in there. So I'd like to see them split up some of that budget and allow the schools that want to do this to opt out of the dumpster contract, do their own negotiations, their own arrangement with the dumpster people, because we still need the dumpster, and instead use that money for resource recovery. And we believe that over all these years, we have proven the waste diversion is solid and steady and real. We have data going up the kazoo. I mean, we've been collecting numbers for a long time. We're educating your kids. We're giving them a whole new way of thinking about their agency in the world as they move through it and as they need to move into the future. So we're only asking for people to look at what's there and open their minds a little bit. We did it with energy 20 years ago. Let's do it now with waste. So we're just going to go to the cafeteria. Now I'm going to talk to you about the pre-pandemic, the previous perfect world we had, which is going to be disrupted now. We have had this down to absolute science, and so efficient and so productive. We had what we call a separation station. So every kid came through a little double line. They all gathered and they would dump out their unfinished milk, then do all their rubbish, milk carton, fork, napkin, condiment, and then dump their food into a bucket and then stack their trays. So they all did this and they got real fast at it and real efficient. And within minutes after each lunch, we were collecting all the food. So that's what is changing now, because they're distributing these kids far and wide, not only over space, but over time. So this used to be real quick. And the food is the high octane fuel that runs this engine. We've got to have that food. And so we capture that nutrient-rich, valuable, decaying organic matter to run our composting operation. And at this school, on average, maybe 180 pounds a day. Several times we will top over 200 pounds a day. So it's a lot. With all the five schools, we were doing 3,500 pounds a week. So quite a bit of post-consumer waste. The kitchen would give us their prep waste. That will stay the same. We'll still be able to capture the salad trimmings, the skins and peels and rinds from the kitchen. So that waste we'll have, and that's what goes to the worms. But what feeds our compost piles is this post-consumer stuff, the plate scrapings, and that is the hard part when school opens again, figuring out how they're going to do it. So goodbye cafeteria, goodbye separation station, goodbye us interacting with the kids to help them sort and separate their food out. We'll figure out a way. But for now, that is off the table. So anyway, what we used to do in our pre-pandemic perfect world is we'd get all of our buckets, and after each lunch, I would load them up on my little wagon here, and I would weigh each bucket with our little scale, and pick it up, weigh it, and I'd mark it in a log book. So we would weigh and log all of our food waste after each lunch, and at the end, we would have a total, and the last trip down to the compost pile, we would do our data board. So come on down, I'll show you our data board. This is how we keep track of the compost piles we're building. Here's a little scale model cutout of our compost pile. Underneath we have some sticks, yay big, for aeration and drainage. So we do a layer of mulch, and then we start laying our food. Usually at the school, there's so much, we do two and sometimes even three layers of food. And we water as we go, keeping everything really moist. We will add up our food as we go until we have 1,000 pounds. So each of our piles is roughly 1,000 pounds, give or take.
You reclaim all this waste, organic matter, food waste, paper product, and you've turned it into compost, vermicomposting.
And worms.
And worms, three products right there. The public, parents love it. You can tell because it flies out the door.
Yep, flies out the door.
What has been the return for each campus? How well have they done?
It takes a few years for this to all go. The first year, all you're doing is building. The second year, you start harvesting. You're harvesting your vermicast after a year, and you're harvesting your compost after a year, and your worm colony is big enough to cull for worm sales in a year. So the first year, they don't make anything, but the second year, the money starts to come in. By the third year, depending on the campus and how much resource they have, they're making anywhere from $5,000 to $20,000 annually. It's probably in the $15,000 average for each school. We could increase our prices and make that more, but we don't. We want all of our products to be very accessible to, community members and to farmers. But yeah, they can count on this kind of money coming annually. Our biggest school right now as far as resource is Enchanted Lake. And I told the principal, Mrs. McElerney, told her, you guys did great your first year of making money. And I anticipate that by next year, you'll be doing $18,000 to $20,000 in recovered resource product sales. This is what you used to throw into the dumpster, and it would cost the taxpayer to haul it away. And now we're making money for you with these waste products. And she's like, this is amazing. We don't have to do anything for this. This is our waste. We're paying to have it hauled away. Even though there's nothing in the dumpster, we still have to pay for it. That's crazy. But we're making money off of what used to be something we had to pay for. So that avoided cost would be great to have, because now we have the money to support this program bigger and better and at more schools. I don't see a downside to it other than it takes some work. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm developing a green workforce. That when Castle Foundation gave us the money, I told them, they said, you know, what are you doing for this money? I said, I'm building a workforce of green, you know, people talk about green jobs. This is a green job, folks. This is a green job. I'm teaching people how to do this, and I want a green workforce. I want everybody to know how to do this. It's not rocket science. It does take experience and practice to get good at it, and that's why they spend a year with me. And once they have the Ka'ohau protocol down, they're ready to move to other schools. And we've done that once with our very first apprentice, Augusto De Castro, who is now at Manoa Elementary and doing a fantastic job. He was financed by the Garden Club of Honolulu, who gave us 1 year apprenticeship funding. And boy, was that ever a great investment. Not only was he a wonderful worker for us all year, but he was absolutely capable of starting a campus from scratch on his own. And Manoa has just had an impressive, impressive first year. That's a tough school because they've got rain and wind. Oh, very tough school. But Augusto's done an amazing job, and he couldn't have done it if he hadn't spent a year with us learning a turnkey operation that is absolutely foolproof. So he knew exactly what to do the day he hit the ground, and on day one they were a zero-waste school.
Hui staff and trainees were busy in the morning sun, poking and soaking compost piles and feeding and rebedding worm bins. Betsy Dyer lives and breathes the zero-waste lifestyle and has been working with Mindy Jaffe for over a year, ever since her youngest child started kindergarten. Dyer took a break from pitchforks and the water hoses to describe what it takes to be a resource recovery specialist.
It takes physical strength, I'll tell you that. We work our butts off, hustling, shoveling, mulching, digging, lugging buckets. It takes a lot of physical strength. And then it just takes dedication to the concept that we're working towards and a lot of belief that we're doing the right thing and to keep doing it day in and day out despite all of the challenges that we've come across. And it's funny, I work with the fifth graders at Ka'elepulu, and I'll get two of them per week. And on Monday, they're like, ew, we have to touch this, gross. What's going on? I have to do what? And by Friday, they are like, give me the bucket, give me the hose. I don't need gloves. Let me just get in this pile. It really gets us through the day, and it's worth all the hard work when people come back and say, you can't believe the tomatoes that I've got growing right now. They're just gobsmacked at the gorgeous product that we sell. So that's always really rewarding when people come out and support us.
And one of the newest additions to the HUI is intern Joshua Domingo. In June 2019, he was an agribusiness Peace Corps volunteer in Uganda. However, when COVID hit, his time there was cut short. He was evacuated, returned home to Hawaii, and all his plans shifted. The information technology and business graduate says his future no longer lies behind a desk as he's pivoted to farming and agriculture.
Since coming back, I started to be more appreciative about all the things that I've seen and done. When I was working there in Uganda, I got to grow my own corn, I got to grow my own sweet potato, and it was like very rewarding in that sense. And it was just, you know, it was really cool. You get to share it with other people and they get to eat the food that you grow. When people think about farming or people think just simply about composting, that like, oh, I gotta do these. It's like, it becomes so complicated from the outside that it becomes a barrier to so many people that, oh, I gotta buy this, I gotta buy that. Oh, it's too expensive, I don't really spend money, we don't have space. One of the things that Mindy helped to show me was that it's simple in that all we're doing is taking food waste, putting it in a pile, and covering up with either mulch or the surrounding soil, and then just doing that over and over again. And the same thing with worms. You know, it's a bit more complicated, but overall, I think everybody can learn this. Everyone can pick this up.
And when school starts later this month, the HUI will be funded by a grant and aid money awarded by the City and County of Honolulu. This will cover staff to maintain the living system stewarded by the Windward Zero Waste School HUI. For now, Jaffe and her team are in a holding pattern waiting for August 17th when Keiki will be back on campus generating food waste.